going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We are so excited that you are all here for a real treat this hour. Cowboy poet Ron Wilson likes to say he's been a 4-H member, FFA officer, farm radio broadcaster, college lecturer, congressional staffer, association executive, rural development director, corporate vice president, small business co-founder, rodeo ticket taker, Sunday school teacher, diaper changer, bottle washer, tractor driver, post hole digger, thistle chopper, hay bale stacker, fence fixer, calf holder, manure scooper, and tail twister.
Wow.
Ron Wilson,
I added a lot of jokes,
is also a cowboy poet that I had the great pleasure and honor of meeting in Manhattan, Kansas several weeks ago for Mom's Weekend. And I said, will you please come on the Dana and Parks program? And Ron, here you are, and we thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Dana. Howdy to everybody there.
Well, hey, Ron.
We just want to know a little bit about how all this started, because I'm going to be honest, prior to my visit for Parents Weekend in Manhattan, I had never heard of a cowboy poet.
And a lot of folks have not heard of cowboy poetry. I like to tell the story of a time I met a guy from Seattle, Washington, and we were talking about what we do for fun, and when I got to cowboy poetry, he said, wait a minute, time out. He said, I'm from the city of Seattle. What in the world is cowboy poetry? And I said, in a nutshell, it's the opposite of good poetry. And I say that with tongue in cheek, because we have some terrific cowboy poets, but cowboy poetry is not highfalutin, you know, medieval library literature. It is rhyming verse that celebrates the American West and is just for fun. It is written by cowboys, for cowboys, about cowboy life, contemporary or historic. And it's kind of an unusual genre, a niche, I guess. But it's something a lot of us cowboys have fun with.
Well, where did it start as an art form? Because I know, you know, obviously,
like way back in the day,
country music is a thing that Roy Rogers and around the campfire with a guitar.
But yes.
Is it out of that, or was there like a guy that didn't have a guitar one day and he was just like, I'm just going to do poetry?
Well, the origin of the cowboy really came to life on the plains of Kansas in the post-Civil War era.
Right.
After the Civil War, there were longhorn cattle running free in Texas because the men had been off fighting in the Civil War. But there was demand for beef, for protein in the East. And so the idea of gathering up those wild longhorns and trying to move them north to the railroads in Kansas was where the cowboy legend really came to life. And so those young cowboys gathered up the cattle and moved them hundreds of miles across the wilderness. That was an amazing accomplishment, and it caught the imagination of the American people. It was glamorized by writers and authors, and so the cowboy became this symbol of courage and daring and independence, and so the cowboy as a symbol goes back to that era. It's hard to pinpoint exactly when cowboy poetry began. Imagine it's at the end of the day. You've moved the cattle across the country, and you're sitting around the campfire at night, and, you know, you're telling tall tales. And, you know, Pecos Bill, once upon a time. And if you could make that rhyme, it would be even more entertaining, right? And so, you know, we can imagine that that happened in those days. And there are a few rare printed examples of like a poem printed in the Montana Stock Growers Magazine in 1893. But it was really, but in the 1900s, there were cowboys and there were poets, songwriters that were celebrating the cowboy life. Along comes a Baxter Black, who is the most successful cowboy poet, the late Baxter Black, and he could write, compose, perform cowboy poetry in a captivating fashion. He passed away 2 years ago. There was a gathering of cowboy poets in Elko, Nevada. The Folklife Center out there brought them together to share cowboy poetry. And that has taken off, and that continues to this day. It's an unusual art form in a way, but it's a lot of fun.
Can you tell us, Ron, about just the importance of keeping that part of our history alive? And is this in some way for the young people, you know, kind of a way to remind them of the history here, of our roots here? For a lot of that history, I think people would say maybe dying. And I think what you do helps keep that alive.
Well, we absolutely believe that, and we hope so. It's a fundamental part. I mean, the history of the American West, the settlement of the West, Kansas City's role as a key crossroads, the stockyards, that's fundamental to our history in the heart of the country. And so cowboy poetry seeks to honor that history as well as our modern day farmers and ranchers. There are still working cowboys. There are still people using horses and tending cattle, farmers, stockmen, ranchers, cowboys across our region. And so we want to honor that history as well as those good, hardworking folks today.
Ron, your family has had that for generations, the Lazy T Ranch in Manhattan, and it's a beautiful space, and there are all kinds of farm animals, and you were kind enough to share your poetry and your gift with us and some of our sons. But do you travel to do this? It looks like you men and women are all over the country. And I'm seeing in some places, this is like a 155-year-old tradition. You know, is there a generation behind you helping keep this alive? And do you travel to do this?
We certainly travel to do this. And there are people all over the country doing this. I'm a part of a group called Western Wordsmiths, which is kind of a guild of or association of writers, poets. And we have a member in Maryland. And a bunch of us in the center of the U.S., we have participants as far west as California. So we do travel all over. I happen to be chair of we put on an annual Kansas Cowboy Poetry Contest, and I'm chair of that contest. And so we have regional competitions, and we have older citizens, but we have some young cowboy poets too, I'm pleased to report, and we need more. We need our young people engaged in our history and in cowboy life. I mean, rodeos, we see a whole lot of young people involved with rodeo. And so that cowboy life is valuable and we need to support it.
Hey, Ron, do you tailor your performance for different or more diverse audiences across, you said you go, you know, regionally. do you find you get a different reaction from different types of audiences? Do you tailor the poetry based on who you're going to be speaking to?
Very much. Actually, one of my goals as a cowboy poet personally is to write a poem customized for each group or event where I go. I don't guarantee the poem's any good, but I guarantee to write a poem. And so I enjoy doing that. The fundamental message is about cowboy life, ranch work, and Western history. That doesn't change. But we certainly do try to address the needs of a particular audience.
So, Ron, we have to take a quick break here. Will you hang on the line? And when we come back, would you share maybe one or two of your poems with us? I'd be so happy.
I'd be honored.
Okay, just sit tight and we'll be right back with you, okay? That is Ron Wilson, our cowboy poet from Manhattan, Kansas. And just stick around and hear what he has for you straight ahead.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, let's get right back to it. And our guest this hour, alongside me and Jonathan Weir, sitting in for Scott Parks, our resident cowboy poet, Ron Wilson. And one of the things I saw, Ron, that I want to mention is that you feature your poetry on WIBW Radio in Topeka. That's actually where I got my start in television. I worked alongside those radio guys, and what a storied, wonderful space that is for your poetry.
It surely is. I'm not involved with that anymore, but great folks there at WIBW in Topeka.
Where can other people find you and hear you? Because we're getting a lot of that on the text line.
Well, ronscowboypoetry.com is my website, and that's probably the best bet. ronscowboypoetry.com.
Would you do us the honor of reading us a couple of your poems?
Not much of an honor. I'd be delighted. I enjoy this poem, and this is in honor of all the travelers out there.
Okay.
It's called Good News and Bad. General Custer was camped at the Little Bighorn. He sent out a scout early one morn. The scout came back to make his report. I have good news and bad news to make it short, and you get to choose which you want to have first. Custer said, do the bad news, then we're over the worst. Okay, the scout said, the bad news is this. We're surrounded by Indians. We're in a terrible mess. There's hostiles everywhere you turn your eye, and the truth is every one of us is going to die. Phew, Custer said, That's bad news, all right. Is there any good news that could make this picture bright? Sure, the scout said, considering where we've been, the good news is we're not going to have to travel back across Nebraska again.
I love it. Do you have a favorite, and do you prefer humorous poetry over serious, or do you do a mix of all of them?
I do a mix of all of them, and it's hard to pick out a favorite. I do have a serious poem I might share, if that's all right.
I wish you would.
And it's based on the real hazards, the real risks that those cowboys took back in the cattle driving days. This poem I originally entitled Stampede, but I retitled it Love and Life Lost. Let me tell you a story of a hot summer night. We were trailing a herd for Charlie Goodnight. We camped for the night in Indian Territory. I'll never forget the terrible story. I sat by young Billy near the chuck wagon that night, ate beef, biscuits, and beans by the campfire light. I asked Billy why he'd chosen the cowboy life. He said to make money, to take him a wife. He was going to save his earnings and no longer roam and marry the girl that he'd left back home. Her name was Mary, as pretty as pie. That thought made him smile and brought a spark to his eye. It took our minds off this hard trail for a bit, when suddenly the devil's own thunderstorm hit. A bolt of lightning tore through the skies. The Longhorns panicked with fear in their eyes. They started to run as we went for our steeds. My heart was pounding. It was a stampede. I was pelted with rain as I spurred my cayuse. We tried to hit them, but it seemed no use. Then we got to the leaders and got them to turn so they'd mill and slow down as we'd come to learn. We all rode back to our original camp, soaked and bone-weary with everything damp. We would gather the cattle at the first light of dawn. But something was wrong. Young Billy was gone. When daylight came, we found where he'd fell, trying to head him as they ran pell-mell. Young Billy was dead. You could see at a glance. When his horse stumbled, he hadn't a chance. So Jake got a shovel and dug him a grave as we gathered the cattle and brought in the strays. And we buried him there on the windswept prairie where young Billy will never get home to his Mary.
Wow.
That was amazing.
It's a tough poem. It's a sad poem, but it captures the real risks and the real hazards that those cowboys dealt with in the cattle drive days.
Because, Ron, it's romanticized in movies and such. Like, so our young people think of cowboys and they think of old movies and black and white film and
John Wayne,
when yes. The reality was much, much harsher, was it not?
It was. I mean, the day-to-day life on the cattle drive was hard, dry, monotonous until you had a rain and a flood and, so many hazards. There was a reason that those cowboys became heroes because they were courageous and independent. They, with a rope and a horse, they had to conquer the West by themselves. And really, it's an inspiring story, and I think it can, carry on to our legacy today of the strength of our people.
Well, Ron, we were just honored to have you on the program today. I cannot thank you enough for sharing your gift, and we're going to put this on social media so people can find you, and I just appreciate your time and your wisdom more than you know.
Can I share real quick the poem
I was
going to
ask him if he
today.
Had one for KMBZ.
Yes, yeah. I want you to do whatever you want to do, Ron. I'm so happy.
All right, here goes. This is for Dana and Parks. I appreciate this chance to be on the air today and be part of the Dana and Parks show in this way. It's great to share a little bit of cowboy poetry, which honors American roots and our Western legacy. KMBZ is Kansas City's news and talk station with lots of entertainment and important information. You don't want to miss the fun with all of them, so tune in to Odyssey or 98.1 FM. Now, thanks for letting me. Be on the radio to be part of the fun of the Dana and Parks show. Happy trails.
You make me cry. That is so sweet. Thank you so much. You are truly a gift. The phones are ringing. I'm telling you, I'm going to put you all over social because people are going to want to know where you can get a hold of you. I know you speak all over the region, and we want to share your gift with our listeners.
Well, be delighted, and I very much appreciate the opportunity. We were delighted to have you out, Dana, and that was fun, and it was terrific.
I'll be back, and thank you again, and you be well, my friend.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yep, that is Ron Wilson, our cowboy poet. I think he's like internationally famous. He's like a really big
deal. He's really good. I was just thinking like how captivating it is. I never really thought of this, but just that the rhyme scheme makes you kind of guess what he's going to say next, but it keeps you engaged in a way that if he was just telling a story, really, you'd just be kind of like, okay.
Do you know why else General I like Custer, it? Yeah. It's something everyone can understand. It's an engrossing story about our shared history, but you can understand what he's saying in a way that I think some poetry, not all, it feels too high level.
Right.
Like, what are they trying to say there?
There's symbolism.
Right. And He paints a picture with his voice, does he not?
Well, yeah, I was also going to say a lot of that is in the delivery as well.
It's he's
not
amazing.
Just that it rhymes and everything.
I mean, I went right up to him and I go, look, my name is Dana. I know you don't know who I am, but I do this little talk show in Kansas City. And will you come on the show? And also, can I go pet your alpacas? And he's like, absolutely. And I did. I went and petted some llamas. Yeah. He's a cowboy hat, real deal cowboy. 913-586-7798. We'll take your calls on this straight ahead. Everybody's calling. You're listening to Dana and Parks. He might be one of my favorite guests of all time.
That was beautiful. Yeah.
We have posted his information on our social media channels. It's up on the Dana Wright KMBZ page, and I'll have Dan put it on the KMBZ page where you can find more. It is ronscowboypoetry.com.
And that's a high honor considering the fact that we've interviewed William Shatner. Yeah. I mean,
Bill, please. Bill, call me Bill.
He did say call me Bill.
He did say call me Bill. We were like, wait, what? So because
how about Kirk?
Yeah. Because you were in the music side for a while. Like, is there anyone super cool that you did not realize how cool it would be to interview them?
With country music, they were all really nice. Like I was almost wanting to
give me one jerk.
Keith Urban, your name should be Keith Rural, right? What are you doing with the name Keith Urban singing country songs, you jackass? I should have said something like that.
But they were all so nice.
He would have been like, ha, that's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, blimey.
Right.
Or whatever he says. I don't know. I don't know if I've told this story on here before. I mentioned it to you. Weird Al Yankovic, which had nothing to do with country music, but I was like, he's available. I'm going to interview him.
I'm doing it.
Because my 8-year-old son is obsessed with Weird Al Yankovic. For whatever reason, he's obsessed with him. And so I had Weird Al on, and I had Finn ask him a question. When Finn asked him a question, though, there was no response. Finn asks him a question.
Oh, God. And this is your child.
My child is like, he goes, how did you come up with the idea for Another One Rides the Bus? And he's super nervous. Like, Finn's like shaking.
Yeah.
And then there's no answer.
Okay.
No answer. And I'm sitting there like, weird. Ow. Like, ow.
Yankovic.
Mr. Yankovic. And nothing. And it goes dead. And I started panicking, thinking, oh, God, he was like insulted. That I asked
poor child is sitting there like,
a question.
Why doesn't he like me?
Yeah, he didn't like me. And we moved on. And then we were in the middle of the song and the hotline starts blowing up and it is his publicist.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, his feed cut out. We don't know what happened. His Wi-Fi went down because he was doing it over Zoom.
Oh my gosh.
And his
yes.
Wi-Fi went down. And he wants to get back on. Like, can he please? He feels so bad because your son asked him a question.
Just left a 7-year-old hanging.
Yeah, yeah. He wants to get back on. And can you get him back on? And I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. No. I was like,
pass.
Absolutely. Get him back on. And so then Finn asked him the question again, and he answered it. And he then proceeded to, after that, we were done with the interview and he's like, hey, can I hang on for a minute? I was like, sure. And he just sat there and talked to Finn.
Oh,
about
that is
music
amazing.
And like, you know, oh, you're a big fan. Like, what's your favorite song, buddy? This is the coolest person I've ever interviewed by far.
So in the last couple of years, he has come back for Thunder Gong. And we talked to Billy Brimmelcombe about this the other day. There's a fundraiser here coming up next Friday that I'm going to be a part of. And then Thunder Gong is this great, it's just a night of music. It's Jason Sudeikis and a ton of the people from Ted Lasso, Beard from Ted Lasso.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a couple of years ago, they added Weird Al.
Huh.
And that thing, they still have it at the Uptown Theater. It's still a very intimate setting. And all of these stars go up and perform, for real, perform songs. And Weird Al was there last year, and people were just clamoring to get up front and to get close to him. Because it's just a different, more intimate...
Sudeikis is like a drummer, right?
Billy is a drummer. Sudeikis sings.
Oh, he can. Okay.
When he does it.
Yeah.
And if you look this up, Thunder Gong a couple years ago, they went viral because Jason Sudeikis did an interview with Hannah Waddingham, with Hannah Waddingham. They did In the Shallows, the Lady Gaga.
Very shallow,
they covered it. And Hannah Waddingham apparently is not only an incredible actress, she took that mic And it went viral for a reason.
Yeah.
She just
amazing.
Blew everybody away. And Weird Al is now a part of that, along That's with awesome. Some SNL people. Speaking of SNL, Bill Hader, one of my very, very favorite SNL stars.
He actually, I'm not just saying this to piggyback on what you said, he is my favorite SNL
okay.
actor of all time.
So Hader and Will Forte, if I they're right up there together. And Forte is going to be in town for this thing next Friday, this game night we're doing at the Uptown.
Wow.
It came out today that Bill Hader, it's kind of a rumor, is set to co-write and potentially star in a new series at HBO. And so you think of Bill Hader as like a funny guy, but
No. Did you see Barry?
Barry yeah. is dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's some funny parts to it, but it's dark.
So this is why this is going to work so well. This is from Variety Magazine. It turns out Bill Hader has been drinking the Kool-Aid. And for any of you under the age of 30, you have no idea what that means, but—
Is he making a Jonestown?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Variety has learned exclusively that Hader and Daniel Zellman are currently developing an HBO series centered on Jim Jones and the infamous events at the People's Temple Agricultural Project, a.k.a. Jonestown. And for those of you going, what does it mean to drink the Kool-Aid? Have you ever heard someone use the term, if you believe something stupid like the earth is flat, mm-hmm. someone will say, boy, they really drank the Kool-Aid on that one. Yeah. Explain to people what that means.
Well, it
literally.
First of all, it's a misnomer because it wasn't Kool-Aid; it was Flavor-Aid.
Oh,
yeah, Kool-Aid will be the first people to tell you that
it doesn't. Oh,
yeah, but it,
Kool-Aid's like it wasn't it was, us.
It was the knockoff. It's not Oreos; it was Hydrox. The people at to put it simply, without getting into graphic detail, because it's horrifying. The people were made to drink, a lot of them, and
it was a cult.
It was a cult that was in Jonestown, and it was like 700 people died drinking poison. The Kool-Aid part of it too is that they had children come up and drink the Kool-Aid in front of their parents, so that their parents would be more willing to commit to the death.
Was the whole thing loony, religious? Was it religious based?
Yeah, very much.
Like,
so.
If you do this,
yeah.
you know, kind of like Waco.
Yeah, the crushings.
If you do this, you will, you know,
go to heaven.
Have this better
and
life.
They killed a congressman, like that day. And he was like down there to investigate, because he was for the congressional district where a lot of these people were from, and he was down to investigate, and they killed him at the airport and then decided to do mass suicide because the FBI, I guess, was going to go down there. And
it's actually more than 900 members.
That many,
and
geez.
It happened at Jim Jones' direction in 1978. Did he die too?
Yep. He didn't want to. I think he, like, at the end, he was like, kind of like, I don't know, guys. And then he did. That's a dark. So on another note, there is a very funny show out right now called The Studio with Seth Rogen.
Yes.
The first episode of it is he's a studio executive, and he has to prove his mettle by making, because all movies are just intellectual property, Barbie and that stuff, right? So he has to make the Kool-Aid movie.
Oh God.
And he's like this real auteur, like I believe in real cinema, like we need to bring the 70s back. And he like has a meeting with Martin Scorsese, and Martin Scorsese's like, I got an idea for a film I want to do, it's called Jonestown. And so Seth Rogen's like, I'll call that Kool-Aid the movie.
Oh God.
And it kind of, it spirals out of control, but it's a really funny show, and it's on Apple TV.
As dark as all of this is, they also did a docudrama and a docuseries on Waco.
Yeah.
And they were very well done. For anyone maybe 30 or even 40 years old, if you don't remember that, go back and watch those. I don't know that I could watch the Jonestown one.
I can't.
Outside of the, I don't want to say fascination, I don't understand, and Waco is the same way, how people could so blindly, when children are involved in Waco, I always said those parents should be charged with murder, but the children who died and the parents who did not, how do you so blindly follow some dude that says, do this, this is the end, you know, when the police are, how does that happen?
I mean, it's a slippery slope.
Right?
And it starts with you're having problems. I have all the solutions.
Yeah.
You have issues. Guess what? I have the answers. So just follow me. And then the ending of that is that we'll all go into heaven together.
I told you so. This is all going to happen.
We'll all go into heaven together.
Yep. Bill Hader, it's coming to HBO. He has already signed on as the writer. The rumor is he's going to be Jim Jones.
Oh, my God.
But what an actor to do it.
He's a fantastic actor. He also does, I don't know if they still do it, but him and Seth Meyers and Fred Armisen do a documentary, like, parody series called Documentary Now. It's hilarious.
Please tell me you've heard his impression of the Dateline reporters.
Oh, yeah.
We might play that for our listeners because it's clean.
Yeah.
We might play that when we come back because it is one of the funniest. That must have been wild. Crazy. Because you guys don't probably know the names of the journalists at Dateline, but you know their voices. And when he does it, it is.
Who is the guy? I can't remember the name of the guy he's doing.
Well, I don't want to say it, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah, the guy with,
the guy with white hair.
We'll play it when we get back.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Okay, so we promised to lighten it up, and Sam, if you have it, we will, because Jimmy Kimmel basically asked Bill Hader, do you do any impressions that aren't, like, everyone can do Ronald Reagan, but do you do anything that's a little off the beaten path? And he does.
Yeah, of course he does.
Do you remember?
I knew the guy on Dateline. You remember the guy Keith Morrison?
Yes, I do.
I love Dateline. Do you guys watch Dateline?
Do you really watch it?
My favorite show. It's the only I love true crime shows. And Keith Morrison has that real folksy kind of way of talk. He's like, so you saw your father shot in the face. And I'm going, well, that must have been a while. And the other people on it I love is Josh Mankiewicz.
Oh, wow.
Josh Mankiewicz is the best because he kind of has
like a stuffy nose.
He's always in Aruba.
It's like the guy killed someone in Cabo San Lucas. That's mine.
Like he always gets the best. And then he goes. He always says you could have a drinking game with this. Every time he'll do this.
He goes. So you found a dead. Now most people when they find a dead body in their house, they call 911. But you didn't do that, did you?
I love Bill Hader, and the reason
you didn't do that, did you?
The reason he's my favorite SNL guy is a couple of weird, obscure things he did. There was a series they did, and it was a sports talk show that was hosted by like a former jock, and a guy who's pretending not to be an alien, and and it was a call-in show, and the call-in people were like, he's got a tail now, and it's Bill Hader going like being an alien, and it's the funniest thing, Finn and I have watched it like 100 times. And he and I are the only ones that even remember that was a bit. It's our favorite SNL sketch ever. But I also love him because he said he has massive anxiety issues.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And
a lot of those SNL guys do, and women.
He had constant panic attacks, like right before he'd go out and perform. And he couldn't hold it together. And he's like, usually when I was breaking or laughing, it was because I was so panicked.
You had to release the energy.
I had to release it somehow, yeah. And he also, if you know this about SNL, when you audition, if you ever see their auditions, it's weird.
Oh, it's weird.
Because
you're literally
laughs.
Just standing there, no one laughs, and the lights are on you, so it's dark, and there's like four people staring at you.
But he got a laugh, and I don't remember what it was. It was like his Al Pacino impersonation or something. And Tina Fey like went, ha! Like that, and he was like, okay, I'm good. If Tina Fey laughed at what I did, then I'm set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think so many people in the entertainment industry, and even this would even include, I think, television and radio, why do you think so many of us are wound tight?
But as far as anxiety is concerned?
I mean, one of the first things I asked you when you walked in today was like, I said, I have a rash. What's wrong with me? What do you got going on with you? Because for those of you who don't know Jonathan Weir, I hope that you do. Yeah. Like, you have some medical anxieties.
Yeah.
Like, don't go on WebMD. Don't Google what
I've,
is going
I've
on.
I've gotten a lot better at ignoring that over the
as we're getting older.
As I'm getting older, I've just accepted the inevitability of my own demise. So I'm like, eh, whatever. But I will say I think a lot of us in radio and a lot of people in broadcasting or a lot of entertainers are like that because we need people to
like
us so much.
Right?
It's you're just constantly trying to fill whatever void there is there to make, because you're right. None of them. And it's funny. It doesn't matter if you talk to the biggest star of all time or somebody who's up and coming. They all have the same stress. They all want to go out and just do a good job. Or
right.
If they're bored with it, then they just are like, I go out and perform like a puppet. I hate that. Like it. Once you get comfortable with it, that's when you start to hate it. It's crazy.
Can you imagine being as famous as like a, I mean, you had mentioned Keith Urban earlier, and at least Bill Hader can probably, with a ball cap on, walk through the airport. You're going to get a couple of people, huge SNL fans, are like, oh my God, Bill Hader.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be to the level of like a, you know, we talk about Taylor Swift, or we talk about, you know, name your massive, look.
Dana Wright.
Prince Harry. Prince Harry, they were showing him getting out of a car today. I think are they in California or something, Sam? The mob of people. It's not normal for someone like Prince Harry to grow up. That's not normal for anyone to grow up like that.
Right. I mean, just think of, he went to a strip club. He's putting pictures of his grandma in girls' pants. You know, that's weird enough.
Wow.
That's weird enough.
Wow, I wasn't going to go there with that.
It popped into my head. So I agree with you. And it's weird, too, because he didn't earn that either, right?
No.
He didn't seek it out.
No.
He didn't want, it's even if you were a child star and your parents, but at a certain point, you were like, oh, I'm going to perform because it makes people happy.
Right.
He was just born famous. Like, that's horrifying.
Nope.
So horrifying, because at least, most famous, if they hate the trappings of success and fame and they feel isolated by it, at least they have, well, it is my fault. I did want this.
Yeah. I wanted this. I asked for this.
Yeah. He can't even say that. He's just like, well, my mom was pretty and my dad's weird.
Another episode of DNP MD with Jonathan Weir.
We should about my maladies, as you call them?
We should make that a call-in, like,
what?
Topic.
D&P,
586-7798. What's wrong with you?
I did diagnose myself with a disease at a stoplight on the way home last night.
What was it?
Schomburg disease.
I don't know what that is.
I have these weird spots on my right leg. It's
Oh my God, so do I. Are they on the back
Schomburg
of your leg?
Disease. Around my ankle.
Is it communicable?
I don't know.
Are you guys spreading rashes?
It is not contagious.
Get your scabies away from
Fun
me.
In fact, there's nothing you can do about it. Yay!
I thought I had a superfluous nipple. It was just a mole.
Just
but
a
I
mosquito
really,
bite?
Yeah, no, I really was like, oh, what is this?
It's your dead twin that you absorbed.
What's playing with it in there? Jeez.
Hey, it stands up on its own.
We will be back tomorrow with much more educational information for you. Please be safe tonight. Be good. Jonathan Weir, thank you so much for sitting in with me.
Thank you so much for having me, Dana.
Always, always so much fun to have you here. We are back with much more tomorrow.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.